series, Grace for the Race. So I got my sneakers on for the race here. That's why I'm doing these. All righty. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Where else would we go? But we go to you. And we come into your throne room. We're so grateful that we can do that. And we're so thankful, Jesus, that you made a way, that we get to come in. And we come in, Lord, with arms open. Arms open, saying, Father, we come expecting you to open our eyes, to fill us, to impart a word that we've been, you know, we just need this word today to help us on our race. So I thank you, Father, for everybody here. Their hearts are prepared. And I thank you, Father, that the word of God is anointed, it's powerful, and will transform everybody here today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're doing it and believing it, all right? You know, so don't come and just, all right, come expecting. Come. You know, some days I go, listen, Lord, I got this situation going on, and I'm going to this meeting, and I am expecting to hear from you. Now, do you think God's like, what a pain in the butt she is? No, he's like, good, she's going to draw from me. Okay? Delete that word. Okay, sorry if I forget. I'm a lady. All right. Our scripture, what have we read out of every single week? Oh my gosh. Lane, help him out. What? Say it again. Hebrews 12:1. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm praying. All right. Every week, this is week number 6. My gosh. All right, here we go. This is week number 6, Hebrews 12:1. This is the New Living. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Man, baby, they're watching. Right? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily strips us up. Let us run the race, run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You know, of course, I've been studying this for a couple of months here. Do you know how many times the word us is listed there in that one scripture? Go back and look. How many times is the word us listed there? Thank you. One person. 4 times. I think he's talking to us. 5. Thank you. What's the last one? Good. Okay. He's talking to us. Guys, when you read this, this is God through the agent of Paul, but he's talking to us. He has something to say to us. All right. Just don't let it go. Zoop, all right. Or I'm notorious. I used to go, Jack, this is for you. This is for you. Honey, this is for you. And the word is us. So that's me. That's you. So when you read this, okay. So what is he saying here? He says, we're all in a race. We are all in a race, and we're to run the race with endurance. That means you don't quit. That means you put those ever ready batteries in and you just go. All right. So we're all in a race. We run the race with endurance, but there's going to be some stuff you have to strip off. They're in the race. There's going to be some stuff you're going to have to strip off. Right. So that's what we've been talking about. Grace. We've been talking about grace. And we said the traditional or the first definition I heard about grace was God's unmerited favor. And I love that. I love that. That was, bam, you got it. God's unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it. I didn't pay enough. You can't pay nothing for it. Jesus did it. You got that. But the second thing that we've been just pounding in every week is grace is God's empowerment. He empowers you to do the things you can't do. He empowers you. That's what this grace is. He empowers you to do the things you can't do. How many of you have some things you can't do? Read the list on the refrigerator. You know, I keep a list. Okay. I have a list. Okay. One time, I was sitting down with, Christopher Alam's wife. We were at a meeting, and afterwards the ladies were just, we kind of took over a table and we were having some coffee and cookies. And, this was probably my first time to meet Britta. And so she was telling everybody what, you know, I'm Christopher's wife. And then they're like, well, how do you do it? Christopher Alam is away 3 weeks out of a month. How many months in a year? That's a lot of no home husband time. Yes. All right. And I was like, oh, my gosh, about killed Jack the time he went to the mountains from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He was gone. Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about that one. All right. So we said, how do you do that? And she said, grace. God has given me grace to do this. What was she saying? God has empowered her to be the wife that's home 3 weeks out of every month by herself. Grace. Man, God, I am so thankful for your grace. Just put your hand up. Close your eyes. Come on, guys, get on the page. God, I am so thankful that you give me grace. You empower me to do all the things that I can't do. Isn't that wonderful? You should not put your feet on the floor in the morning until you do that. You should not. You should just lay there, hands up. God, I thank you today. You will empower me to do everything that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name. Wow. All right. Grace is amazing, isn't it? Just besides singing it. All right. So today we're going to talk about obstacles. Obstacles. Anybody? Okay. Better yet, let me back up. I'm getting so excited about this. We're going to talk about how grace helps you through obstacles. Can I have you put two chairs, one here and one here? And Dave, can I have you take the two end chairs and put them one here and one here so that I don't trip over them because you have to unhook them. Okay. All right. Well, you guys, two over here, two over here. Grace, we're going to talk about grace helps you through obstacles. Obstacles, all right? So the title of the message is called Obstacles. Now, how many of you are going through life and you ran into some obstacles? Dave's got an obstacle. He's trying to unhook it. All right. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn them this way so they look a little bit like what I'm going to talk about. Here we go. Turn. Yeah, that's good. All right. Okay. How many of you have run into obstacles in your life? Okay, and I'm going to call them hurdles today. That's supposed to be a hurdle. You guys going to throw my picture up? Ta-da! All right. I was trying to figure, Angie, I should have called Angie. You could have stolen some of those for me. Yeah, Angie's a gym teacher. I was like, oh, I should have thought it. Okay, now. Obstacles, a bunch of times, are unexpected in my life. Have you had an obstacle in your life that was like, oh, totally unexpected, right? And listen, I don't care if you're a follower of Jesus or you're not. They come to everybody. Everybody runs into obstacles in their life, all right? Now, though I remember being first saved, maybe you thought like this, wow, goody, 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 this is amazing. I'm now a child of God. I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm not going to run into any problems. It probably lasted less than a week, all right? So sometimes we think that, but it's not true, is it? How many of you probably didn't even make through the first day and you ran into an obstacle, all right? I did. I remember telling my parents that I asked Jesus Christ into my life. Did I run into an obstacle? Because they was coming out of a denominational church, and they're like, "What?" All right. So I didn't even make it through the end of the first week, and I ran into that. So obstacles. Now, the wonderful thing about these obstacles is God's grace. God's grace is going to help you get over all these obstacles. That's what God's grace does, right? Empowers you to get over the obstacles. So we're going to need grace. Now, the interesting thing about a lot of obstacles is, now I am a planner. You think I'm a planner. You should see Sherry. Witt, have you seen Sherry's notebook? Oh my gosh. Super planner. And then we have obstacles that just totally unexpected. Like what? Such as, and I've told this story before, I was 20 years old, I'm going to college, I'm over at York College, I go to bed one night, and the next morning I get up with an unexpected phone call, my twin brother died. Unexpected, Didn't plan for it. Okay? And matter of fact, it had effects. It affected everybody in my household. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of people here. You've had unexpected obstacles. Anybody ever have an unexpected obstacle like that in your life? Yeah. All right. So we've all experienced obstacles in our life. And I'm sure most of you say, man, I didn't see that one coming. Especially Sherry's little planner. She's got, it's four color coded. Everything's written, color-coded, planned. And you know what? Some days I just want to rip it out and say, unexpected. Right? Okay. We have unexpected things, right? We have unexpected things that happen in our life. Now, would you pop 1 Thessalonians up there, please? I want to read this scripture to you so it's not just you. All right. This is Paul, and it says, therefore, we want to come to you. This is Paul. He wanted to come to you. Even I, Paul, time and time again. But Satan hindered me. What's that sound like? An obstacle. But Satan hindered me. All right. Now, I want to go over that word hindered. I'm going to put some definitions up there for you. What that word means so you get a bigger thing. Hindered means, number one, to cut in on someone. To cut in on someone. Number two, to impede by placing obstacles in someone's path. To impede by putting obstacles in someone's path. All right. The last one, to thwart or detain. Now, let's say I'm in a race. I'm on the track and field and I'm in the race and we're lining up and the gun goes off and I start running and somebody cuts in front of me, trips me up. Okay, is that good? No, I probably could get hurt, lose my balance, and maybe be disqualified. All right, so hinders, so when you have hurdles, they hinder you, and they're not good, right? So today I want to talk about how you handle all these hurdles, the things that hinder you in your race, how you handle them. Because listen, they're going to come. All right. Sometimes you can't stop it. Sometimes Sherry's little planning's just not going to work. All right. You can't stop it. They're going to come. So how about if the Lord tells us how you handle all those obstacles? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yep. Because till you get out of here, probably till you get down to the bottom of the parking lot, you might have an obstacle. So it would be really nice. Man, I remember just trying to get all those kids in the car. So I was like, just to get out of here, go home. This got crazy. All right. Anyway. Now, so we're going to talk about how obstacles come and how we get through them. How obstacles come and how we get through them. All righty. Now, somebody might say, well, Pastor D, I'm not planning on any obstacles. I'm not going to have any obstacles in my life. Oh, listen up. The day you die is the day you stop having obstacles. So you want to die? That's how they stop. Okay. While you're on this earth, that's just it, all right? So all of us are going to have obstacles. Now, there's something you can do. There's some things you can do. There's some things I can do on how I handle them, all right? Because sometimes you don't handle them really good. I mean, I'm on the cleanup committee, all right? So are you going to, when you hit one of these obstacles, if you literally hit this, are you going to let it knock you over and knock you out of the plans God has for you? Or you're going to say, oh, an obstacle. I quit. I'm not running anymore. All right. I know people that do that. You probably do too. All right. So no, we're not going to do that. We are not going to quit when we hit an obstacles. We're going to find out how God says we handle obstacles. How do we handle the obstacles? Okay. Now, number one, you have to face them. You have to face them. Okay. You have to face them. And the second thing is you have to do what God says on how to handle them. Cause man, some people do it wrong and they're just knocked out, wiped out and quit. All right. So I think number one, we're going to face all our obstacles. And number two, we're going to do what God says on how to handle them. And let me tell, it'll be much better. Now, really interesting, at this young age of 61 years and being in church for 30, almost 40 years, it's been really interesting to observe church people. I didn't say the world, church people. Now, church people, sometimes they're just cute and adorable. All right. And they actually have reasons why you have all those obstacles in your life. Oh, all right. Church people have these delightful reasons. Okay, I was going to say. Okay, delightful reasons why obstacles come in people's lives. All right, I'm going to give you six of them. There's a lot of them, but let me just give you six. The number one that people say when they encounter an obstacle is, you're in sin. Right? Anybody ever say, you're in sin? I got news. You're all in sin because you are not perfect and you do miss the mark. That's what sin is. So if we're in sin, I'm going to have tons and tons of obstacles. So I don't really particularly like that. Okay. The second reason church people come up with reasons why the obstacles are in their life is they say, they're not in sin. I'm not in sin. And I have these obstacles in my life. I'm so perfect. I'm so perfect that I'm not in sin that the devil puts them in my life. That's church people. They come up with these things, all right? Third one, I'm out of the will of God. You are, I'll never forget, Pastor Dan Moeller, his brake either forgot to put on or didn't put it on, didn't work on his truck. And it rolled down the hill and hit the big rock, wiped it out, got a new car after that, truck after that, right? He said to me, Pastor D, you know what people said to me? Came up to him all the time and said, well, Pastor Dan, you must not have been in the will of God. Like, are you? Okay. So you're not in the will of God. And then they say, you are in the will of God. Okay, you go, man, you can't win. The truth is you can't win. You're going to run into obstacles. That is true. Okay, so we're on number, what's it? Out of the will, in the will. Number five, you have a lack of faith. That is why you have obstacles in your life. Have you read your Bible recently? There was some great men and women with great faith. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11, they list them. And guess what? The reason why they're in here is because they ran into obstacles. Okay? Great faith. And they ran into obstacles in their life. All right. So that's church people, right? That's what they say. Last one, because I could give you more. This is my all-time favorite disgusting excuse. God is teaching me a lesson. That is why I have this obstacle in my life. Anybody ever hears people say that? Oh, yes. Right. Listen, you would think it would be much easier if God said, hey, why don't you read this? I'll teach you a lesson. Why don't you read your Bible? I'm teaching you a lesson. Or better yet, why don't you come to church? Pastor D will teach you a few lessons. Okay? So church people have some interesting, that was a better word, right? Mark was laughing. Okay. God is teaching me a lesson. Now, jot this down. Do not answer this now, but write this down. Which of these reasons have you used for the obstacles in your life? Nobody's peeking on the papers, all right? Go do that later. And then hopefully at the end, you'll say, I'm not going to do that one. All right. So today, I want to talk about four obstacles that we encounter. Four obstacles. I'm going to kind of go through them fast. First one, unexpected attack. 9/11. We just celebrate. I don't know that you celebrate it. You commemorate. Excuse me. Remember, that was totally unexpected, right? The phone call I got about my brother, totally unexpected. So obstacles happen in your life. Many times they're an unexpected attack. Unexpected attack. Gosh, if you've raised a bunch of kids, you could probably write a book. I'm looking at y'all, and you got great grandkids all over the place. You could write a book on unexpected. Now, probably the best story in the Bible about an unexpected attack is Job. Write this down. You don't have to because I'm going to spout through a bunch of it. Job, The book of Job. You talk about unexpected attack. The book of Job, the story of Job. All right, now, Job's living his life. He's living a good life. He's got family. He's got a wife. He's got friends, okay? Job's living life, okay? And the Bible says he was the richest person in that whole area. That's a good life. Hey, I'm waiting. I'm going to be the richest person on my whole block, all right? So Job's living life. And then one day, it's in Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. You can go read that later. The sons of God, the angels, came to the to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the accuser, comes marching up there to heaven. And God said, "What have you been doing, Satan?" And Satan says, "Well, I've been controlling the earth, looking at everything and everybody." What New Testament scripture is that? He hasn't quit his job, has he? All right. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he betrays. He's still doing it. All right. So he says, Satan says, "I've been patrolling the earth, watching everybody and everything." All right. Now, let me say this. This is Old Covenant, Old Testament. What happened there doesn't happen anymore. God, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because Jesus died, went to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, arose and sat down. Satan just can't come parading in like that. And he can't do a lot of this stuff. But this is Old Testament. So I want to tell you, all right? So stay on the page. Okay. So God said, so Satan's going around just checking everything out and everybody out. And God says, "Have you checked out my servant, Job? Have you checked out my servant Job? He's a man of integrity and he loves me." And Satan says, "Well, sure he does. Well, sure he does. That's because you have made him so prosperous and you put a hedge of protection around him. That's because God, you have put a hedge of protection around him and you've prospered him." Now, it's really interesting when you read it. God doesn't say, "No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I didn't prosper him. I didn't put a hedge of protection around him." God doesn't say anything like that, you know? So the devil says, "Hey, the reason why Job serves you is because you've got a hedge of protection and all around him, and you've prospered him." Now listen, guys. It is so interesting. The devil knows better than most Christians what God does for you. What does God do for you? New covenant. He's my protector. He's all right. All right. So very interesting. Just a little trivia, little asterisk on my notes here, right? The devil knows more than some people. I'm telling you some days. Okay. So you know what that tells me? New Testament, your New Testament that says if God did that for Job, I'm in a better covenant. God does that for me. That's part of my covenant. He's my protector, right? He's the one that provides all my needs. Amen. It's good. It's good being a New Testament believer. Amen. All right. So Satan said to God, "Hey, the only reason why he's serving you is because you protect him and you put a hedge around him and you've prospered him." And God says to Satan, "Okay, you can test him, all right, but he'll still serve me." God says, "But he'll still serve me," all right? Now, just to make the story a little bit short, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. Everybody say 42. 37 of them is Job, his wife, his friends talking. That is a lot of yapping. 37 chapters of yapping. Okay? The 38th chapter, God shows up. And you know what he says? "Why don't you all shut up?" He does. "You know, everything you said is wrong. Everything you talked about is wrong. Y'all don't know nothing." Read your Bible. Start at chapter 38. That's what happens. Okay? It does. I'm not making this up. Read your Bible. Okay. Now, you know what that tells me? There are 48 chapters in the book of Job, and it is in the Bible. Okay? But not all that Job said are you supposed to say and act like. Thank you. Not all. Listen, it's all in the Bible to teach you. God left it there. You know, I would have been, let's just rip out 38 pages of blah, 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 a bunch of dumb people talking. Okay? No, it's in there to teach you. Okay? It's in there to teach you. So not all of it is what you're supposed to do. So that's why it's there. All right? Now, the end of the story. The end of the story, chapter 42. Amazing, wonderful. Job gets restored twice as much. I mean, the guy's just blessed upon blessed upon blessed. Right? Anybody read Job before? Just go read 38, 39, 40. Just read the last part. Okay. But the reason why I brought that up to you is Job had an unexpected attack. All right? He didn't plan on it. He was not expecting it. So, number one, sometimes our obstacles are totally unexpected attack, right? Okay, number two. I go, oh my gosh, I got to get through this. Number two, the second type of obstacle is disobedience. It's when there's an obstacle that comes, number two here, because you're in disobedience. Now, we don't like to hear that. We don't like someone to say, you're in disobedience, and therefore you have this attack. All right? We don't like that, but it's true. Now, the very interesting thing about grace, the side that people grab hold of that's not the not part, is grace is unmerited favor, but you can't keep living your life and expect not to have consequences. You are, right? I'll say this again. You can't keep living your life disobeying the Lord, disobeying what he says, and not expect to have consequences. All right? Yes, God extends his grace towards you, right? But you cannot keep doing this, all right? Disobedience, definition of disobedience. When you know to do right and you don't. What I used to do with my kids when I do that, give them a paddle, all right? But, okay, when you know to do right and you don't do it, that's disobedience. And if you keep doing that, there's consequences, all right? But God's grace will love you and he'll help you out. He'll help you out of this stuff, all right? All right, classic story for this one, Jonah. I love Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Now, if you're a parent or grandparents, you probably all know the story of Jonah because you let your kids watch VeggieTales, right? Did anybody seen the Jonah one? So good. Okay. VeggieTales. Okay. The story of Jonah is that God went to Jonah. Oh, God rang the doorbell. Ding dong. God comes into Jonah and he says, Jonah, I want you to do something. And you know what Jonah does? He pays money to get on a ship and go the opposite way. All right? What do we call that? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? He paid money to get out of the will of God. Yeah, Pastor D, don't say it like that. Yes, baby, that's in the Word of God. Okay, he paid money to disobey God. None of you ever done that, right? Okay, so getting on with the story. But you know, the good news is God is so merciful. So Jonah gets on the ship, and God is so merciful, and the storm comes up, and all these sailors are like, man, what's the cause of this? And they decide that Jonah's the cause of the storm, so they decide to throw him over. Nice bunch of friends. Why don't you go have coffee with? Right. So they decide to dump him overboard. As soon as they do that, the storm stops. So I guess they are right. Nice bunch of friends. Okay. And, you know, here's God. God sends this big fish or whale, whatever you want to call it, who swallows him up. And the next thing he does is he spits him out after so many days. He spits him out on the shore of the will of God. right? The thing he was supposed to do. He went to Nineveh. God had this whale spit him out on the place that was the will of God. Isn't God wonderful? You know, okay, so how do I apply this in my life? Even if you get out of the will of God, I've seen this. Even if you disobey God, you know what the grace of God is? He and his love and his mercy is that he'll grab hold of, he'll do everything he can to grab hold of you, to get you back on the right place. Amen. Man, this is where you just, you get the shakies of, oh God, you're so wonderful. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Because let me tell you, I have disobeyed God. And he was always reaching out to me. Always reaching out to me. And then I'm like Jonah. All of a sudden, I'm spit out on the land. And I may be stinking and looking like a sight. But I realize, this is here, the will of God. And I think I'm going to obey him. I think I'm going to obey him. And you, amen, amen, praise the Lord. Anybody ever done that? Spit out and landed on the right place and decided you're going to obey God after all that? You, thank you. One person's really honest. You're all perfect people here. Amen. All right. Listen, guys, I am pretty sure there's people here sitting here today and you have disobeyed God. You're out of his will. All you have to do is turn around. God, forgive me. I have been disobedient and I take steps right now. I'm choosing right now to get back and do what you've told me to do. I'm going to fix that, Lord. I'm going to say that and obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Isn't that wonderful to get back in the will of God? Yeah. All right. Third obstacle. All right. This one's kind of interesting. This one comes due to obedience. Obedience. Okay. That means you're living in the will of God. Okay. Really? You have obstacles because you are living in the will of God? Turn over to Mark chapter 5. All right, Mark chapter 5. I better get over here. I got my little stick. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 4. Excuse me, Mark chapter 4. All right, now, verse 35. Mark chapter 5. 4, sorry, 4, 4, 4. All right, verse 35. On the same day when evening come, he... talking about Jesus, Jesus said to them, his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. All right. So Jesus says to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. And they get into this boat. Now, how many, raise your hand, if you got into the boat with Jesus, you're in the will of God. That one, I know. I am finally in the will of God. I'm in the boat with Jesus, right? Okay, some of you are like, I don't know. Okay, how many of you, if Jesus says, hey, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side, how many of you know that you know that you know you're in the will of God, right? Now, how many of you know, with the other hand, that you're safe? I'm with Jesus. That's the one person I know I'm safe with. You got to hop in my car and drive with me? Y'all pray first, okay? Okay, but you hop in Jesus' boat, and he says, let's go to the other side. I know I'm safe, all righty? Now, so Jesus says, hey, we're going to the other side. Now, next part, how many of you would believe that you're going to get to the other side? Because you're in the will and you're safe and you're with Jesus, right? Good. Guys, let's hop in the boat. Okay. Now, so they all get in the boat. Jesus goes in the back, lays his head down, goes, takes a nap, and suddenly a storm comes up, right? Y'all know the story? Now, his disciples are start talking. Like, what's he doing? There's a storm going on. We're going to die. All right. And they go wake him up. And I could, they wake up. Jesus, Jesus, don't you care about us? We're going to die. Now, Jesus is probably thinking, what are you kidding me? Are you for real? I told you, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. All right. All right, now, so Jesus stands up and he goes, peace. Your Bible says peace. I love Rick Rayner because he does all my Greek studies for me. He said, really what that word means is shh. Can you imagine that's all he did? Shh. Got to try that. All right. And it says immediately the storm stopped. Jesus. All right. Now, how many of you ever been on a boat? Usually boats are on the water, right? They're supposed to be on the water and you're okay, right? You're on the boat. You're in the boat rather, and you're on the water. Okay. But how about the moments you get in and water gets in? Okay. So now we've got water getting into the boat. What's going to happen? It's going to sink. All right. God, you guys, good. So smart. So you're in a boat. It's cool. But the boat gets water. Not cool. Right? All righty. Now, we encounter storms and obstacles. We encounter storms, obstacles, problems, whatever you want to call it. And we're looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus. We're in the boat with Jesus, right? You keep your eyes on Jesus, you're not going to sink. The moment you take your eyes off of Jesus, and you're looking at all that storm, what happens? So the key, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes, hold fast, right? Hold fast to that confession. Keep your eyes on but the moment you don't, man, you're going to sink. All right, so, oh, Dee, that's so powerful and uplifting. I know. It's the truth, though. Okay, last one, obstacle number 4. Okay, now, I'm going to say this, but think with me. Obstacle number 4, you are trapped in someone else's obstacle. Okay, got to think. Pastor Dee. You are trapped in somebody else's obstacle. Has anybody ever had that happen? Okay, yeah, you guys could be some examples there. All right, let me explain. You know you love your kids. I love them to pieces, right? And then one day they do some crazy, ridiculous stuff. And now the family is trapped in someone else's obstacle because we're going to go through this together, all right? So when I say trapped in someone else's obstacle. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody have it happen? I had dinner with the ladies on my block that we all built our houses 30 years ago. And a bunch of them moved away and we're supposed to do it every other month. It's like twice a year. We finally get our act together. So I had dinner with these ladies. And one of them, it's her son. And he went to school with Sherry. He's on his third or his fourth time in rehab. Okay, that family didn't expect that. That family didn't raise their hand for that. But they are trapped in this obstacle, and they're doing life together. They are still doing, you know, the phone calls come, and, you know, okay. Do I need more examples on being trapped in somebody else's obstacle? Right? You get it? Let me give you a Bible story instead. Okay, Acts 27. Verses 9 through 11. You can write that down. Acts 27. All right. Paul's on the ship and he's being taken to different kings. Like he starts over here and this king's going, oh, crud, what am I going to do with him? Let's go pass him off to this king. So he takes him over to this king. So this is what's going on. They're passing him from king to king. And really, they want to figure out what to do with him, but they just really want to kill him. All right. That's really what they want to do. So Acts 27, are you there? I'm not. Hang on there. Acts 27, here we go. 27, verse 9. All right, Acts 27, verse 9. So Paul is on the ship because one king didn't want to deal with it, even though he wanted to kill him. And then he's on the ship to go visit another king. And while he's on the ship, another storm hits. Okay. And Paul says to everybody in the boat, listen. Hey, guys, this is not going to end well on this ship. If you don't listen to what I have to say, if you don't listen, this ship is not going to be cool. Now, has anybody ever told you to do things you didn't listen to them? Oh my God. And it didn't end well. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's what happened here. So they don't listen to him. And, they have this terrible storm, and the storm's getting worse, and then da-da-da-da-da. But this part of the story is the storm's getting so bad, and they need to escape. They need to jump overboard and swim to the island. And the soldiers, now there's lots of, Paul is not the only prisoner on this ship, okay? Paul is not the only prisoner on the ship. So the soldiers decide, hey, let's just kill them all. So that if they swim, they're gonna run away. I'd escape. As soon as I hit land, I'm out of here. And Paul convinces them not to kill everybody. So they all jump overboard. Praise God. They all jump overboard and they escape and they end up on this island. And as soon as they hit the island, they decide they better build a fire because it's cold and they're wet. So everybody's helping, all the prisoners and Paul, and everybody's picking up sticks. And you know the story. Paul starts picking up a stick. He bends down, picks it up, and snake bites him, right? Snake bites him. How many of you have thought, man, I've had this obstacle. Oh my God, what else is going on? Well, that was sort of like Paul, right? He's got this obstacle. So he flicks his hand off and the snake goes away, whatever. And the people on the island, now don't you just love people? You know what they're thinking and they're saying? Wonder what he did. He must be so evil. He must be a murderer. Because something bad happened, right? You know how people think. Well, Paul didn't drop dead. He should have, but Paul didn't drop dead. And then, don't you love people? You know what they say now? Oh, he must be a god. Evil? God. Evil people, aren't they wonderful? That's why you don't listen to what people say. It doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what the Word of God says about you. This is like, right, okay. So, Paul ends up by praying for a man on the island, and he gets miraculously healed. And then everybody on the island who's got anybody sick brings him to Paul. He's laying hands on him, and they have revival breakout. So cool, right? All right, now it's time to leave the island. And you know what happened? Now, wait a minute. I thought they were on a shipwreck. So how can they go off the island? They go to the used car lot? No. You know the people that had revival? They supplied the ship. And if you read in the scholar's notes, which is so much fun to do when you don't have anything to do on Saturday morning, all right, it says they supplied all of Paul's needs. So the people on the ship and all of Paul's need. And two commentaries say they supplied all the money, finances that Paul ever needed for the rest of his time. Because Paul ended up in jail. And in jail, you're not going to live on their crackers. You have to have money to have your own food. They supplied all of his needs. Isn't that crazy? They supplied everything he ever needed for a long, long time. Okay, that's wonderful. So how do I apply this in my life? Sometimes you go through obstacles with somebody else's obstacles, and you don't know how, and you don't know what's going to happen. But listen, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you do what he says, he's going to send you through this. He's going to send you through this, and you might just be stronger and better when you get out of it. I have been through some obstacles, and I want to tell you, sticking with the Lord, it really made me a better person. Now, I didn't volunteer for it. I wouldn't volunteer for it either, okay? But you stick with the Lord in those obstacles, and you will be better and stronger for it. Praise God. All right, last thing. I want you to write this down. How can I extend my obstacles? Pastor D, I'm not writing that down. No. You need to write this down. How can I make my obstacles last longer? Okay. The reason why I'm going to tell you this is because I don't want you to do it. All right? Number one, don't get mad at God. Don't blame God. I'm telling you guys, there isn't a week go by that I don't encounter somebody or somebody doesn't tell me so-and-so doesn't come to church anymore because they had a problem and they're mad at God. Anybody run into people like that? All the time. I'm mad at God. I don't understand why this happened in my life, so I'm blaming God. Gets God. Why are you blaming the wrong person? All right? You're smarter than a fifth grader. It's not God. God is good. All right? So number one, don't do this. Don't blame God. Don't get mad at God. Number two, If you lose hope and you get into despair and negative, you will extend your obstacle. If you lose hope, you get in despair and you get negative, you will extend the obstacle. It just goes and goes. All right. How many of you, just don't do that. It's just miserable. Have you ever been around somebody who's miserable, complaining? All right. If they're miserable, they're complaining, they're negative about their obstacles. You know, I last about 5 minutes and then I put on my smile and I'm going, how can I change the conversation? This is just not enjoyable. Okay, last one. Number three, things not to do. Start blaming other people and get into resentment. Start blaming other people about how long your obstacle is and it'll go longer. All right. I can't tell you how many times, change the names, protect the innocent. People who are still mad at their ex. Their ex has been their ex for 15, 20 years. And they're still blaming them. I'm like, don't do that. You just extend the obstacle, okay? This is the reason why, I love this one. This is the reason why I am why I am. Because, you know, my mom did this and my dad did that. And the person's 40 years old. And they got obstacles. It's this big. Yep, just do that. Come on. You do that, baby. You're going to have a long, extend your obstacle. Okay, don't do that. All right, those three things not to do. Now, let's pretend that I'm doing the 40-yard dash. Normally, I can run it in so many minutes or seconds, right? But now I've got obstacles. What do these obstacles do to my time? Slows me down. Obstacles will slow you down, all right? They'll slow you down, all right? But in closing, I want to talk about how you can get rid of the obstacles. Because I want to run the race. You are in a race. God placed you in it. You're in a race. But I want to get rid of some of these obstacles. Okay, now, Philippians 3:12. Last scripture, I think. Sort of, maybe. Here we go. If you're taking notes, write this down. How do you remove the hurdles or the obstacles in your life? How do you remove the obstacles in your life? Philippians 3:12. I like this. It's really 13, but I want to read 12. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. Now watch what the one thing is. One thing. Oh my gosh. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. Okay, number one, you just need to forget it. Forget about blaming the other person. Forget it. Just forget it. Say, that's my past. That's my past. I'm just going to forget it, all right? Forget it. Okay, number two, forgive. Some of you are like, Pastor D, that's so hard. So you know why it's hard? Because people are stupid. People do stupid things. Excuse me. They do wrong things. And some days you go, are you kidding? You just did that to me? Do you know that hurt? All right? But you need to forgive them. You need to forget them and forgive it. All right? Forget it. Forget and forgive. All righty? Forget and forgive. Forget and forgive. Hallelujah. Okay, the last one. You need to move on. How many of you remember we had David Fleming here about a year ago? Matter of fact, it's probably your fall, the fall. His PM service, his night service, David talked about his dad died when he was 15 years old. And from that moment on, he was stuck on this revolving door of this obstacle. And everything started with, well, you know, my dad died when I was 15 years old. That's why I have a junker car. Well, And then he got a little, this happened, I'm doing this in life. But you know why? Because my dad died when I was 15 years old. Okay? David, one day, this scripture, actually, you should go get the message. He does a really good job on this point here. The Lord brought light to him. He said, David, get over it. Get over that obstacle and put it behind you. And it was like light years. He was like, oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. But he would, it was really funny. You'd meet David. David would go, hi, my name's David. My dad died when I was 15 years old. Now I'm going to college. That's, somebody didn't move, right? All right. So there are things that have happened, obstacles that have happened. And you just have to move on. Move on to that obstacle, and that obstacle. Because you know what? Tomorrow there's more obstacles. Yeah, there are. There's more obstacles. Okay, let me close with a story here about this. It's Apostle Paul. It's in Acts 16. You can just write it down for later. Paul is preaching the gospel to people who have never heard about Jesus. Not like the you guys, you've been hearing this for years. But this is a town and a place they have never heard who God is, why he sent his son, what Jesus did, and the life they now have. And they're having revival. It's going bananas. They're having a great time. People are so hungry. I love hearing Christopher Alam. If you get his newsletter, he'll tell you about how people walk 12 hours to get to the crusade to hear about Jesus. Not us. Oh, it's raining. It's going to rain today. I'm not coming. God. Okay, we won't go there. All right. So the people are getting saved. They're having revival. And the next thing you know, somebody got ticked and the authorities throw Paul and Silas in jail. Y'all know the story. They throw Paul and Silas in jail. Acts 16. Here we go. Verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. Hallelujah. Praise God. But at midnight. Have you ever had the midnight hour? Do you know what the midnight hour is? It's crappy. Everything bad. Yeah. Have you ever been stuck at the midnight hour? Yep, it's usually with bad news. You're just stuck there. All right, so here we are. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening. They weren't doing this. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. Jesus. No, they were praying and singing and the prisoners were listening. Yeah, I think they had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was something that they were not ashamed of, right? They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, everybody like suddenly? Yay! Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. Hallelujah. All right. I wonder what they were singing. What song shakes doors open? What song will cause chains to fall off? Okay, I'm pretty sure it's not country music's number one song. By the way, it's called House Party. Googled it this morning. I'm pretty sure that was not what caused an earthquake. I'm pretty sure that's not what opened the doors and the chains fell off, right? All right. So I wonder what song they were singing, all right? All right. Now, number one, half thing that happened. What was the first thing they did? They prayed. Okay, they prayed. I'm sure it didn't go like this. Oh, God, this is such a bummer you've gotten us into. Do you think that's what their prayer went? Some people are sitting there, God, and my life's a mess. Why? I can't believe you did this to me, all right? That's not their prayer. You know what their prayer was? God, you're my deliverer. God, you are faithful. God, you said you'd never leave me, abandon me. God, you filled me with your power. God, my eyes are set upon you. You are my redeemer. Pretty sure that's what their prayer was like. Not, Father God, in the name of the Father, Son, God, okay? It was loud because they said everybody in the prison heard it, right? Alrighty, now. Second, they sang hymns. They didn't have a red hymnal. They didn't go to Hillsong, okay? They didn't have, so what were they singing? Probably Psalms. Psalms 107 on, they're titled, you'll go read them if you got a Bible like that, that says, Songs of Deliverance. Songs of Deliverance. They're singing songs of deliverance. All right. Sometimes you wonder what we sing. They're singing songs of deliverance. Okay. How great God is. How faithful He is. What God has done, God will do. They're singing these songs of deliverance. All right. Well, why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So, are you singing and saying, my God is faithful, my God is my deliverer, my God is bringing me through to a high place? Are you saying that stuff? You ought to be. Guys, you ought to be. Okay, how to close up here. You're all going to go through obstacles. Matter of fact, some of you would say, Pastor D, seed number 1, 2, 3, 4. Pastor D, I'm in 50 obstacles. I got 50 things going on in my life. Okay, well, good. You're going to have to say what God says. And you're going to have to do what God does. And He will empower you and you will get through that. How many of you can testify? God got me through this. How many of you have said, God, had it not been for the Lord and His grace empowering me, I would not be who I am and where I am. How many of you would say you have a testimony? All right, listen, every obstacle, you have to do that. You cannot lay down and quit. It, blah, 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 blah. When people just quit on the Lord, it breaks my heart. I'm going, what are you? All right, so what? I really want to just say, so what? You got a hurdle. So what? Have you been beaten? 30 stripes? Thrown in a stinky poopy prison? Suck it up, baby, and call on the Lord. What do they say? Put on your big girl panties, right? Come on, folks. You have been empowered with the Most High God. So why do we quit? Not this church. We are not quitters, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want you to stand up. Father God, we thank You that You have given us grace for every obstacle. We thank You, Father, that You empower us. We thank You, Father, that there is nothing impossible with You. We are not out of the boat in the water. We're in the boat with You. Our eyes are set upon You. And Father, if there's anybody, you know, listen, if you've been in disobedience and you have been not with in His will, Father, we choose right now. We'll get back in the boat with You. And I thank You, Father, that we become better, and to You be all the glory. And we have a testimony. We have a story to tell of how great You are, Father. And so thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. I was with this person.